The Vancouver Tech Podcast. My name is James.
And I'm Drew.
How's it going, Drew?
It's going great. How's it going, James?
Pretty great. How was your week?
It was a great week. So I started giving some thought to, we've been opening invitations and saying, hey, on Friday, come on by for Beer Clock Friday.
Right.
To a couple of people. And I started thinking about, you know, is that a good thing? Is it an appropriate thing? Is it a good culture to have or to form? What do you think about Beer Clock Fridays?
I like it. I think it's great to just have a event where people can just show up and sort of check out the place, whether that's as an employee or as a customer or as just someone who's interested in their neighbor. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked before about maybe beer being a possible hurdle for some people as far as like maybe they don't drink beer, maybe they're not into beer, maybe they're into liquor like me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, there might be that side of things. I think you probably have more thoughts on that, right?
Yeah, I think just like the general activity. So if for me, I like beer, and I think I really like what I – or something I really like about Beer Clock Friday is being able to kind of have some beers with people and talk about – maybe we talk about work stuff or about each other, and we can kind of deal with any problems we might have had during the week.
Mm-hmm.
In a maybe informal way and kind of hash things out if we need to or talk about I don't know. I find it really fun in a loose sort of environment. But on the other hand, is that exclusive to people that are drinking beer
right.
or not? Because I find that, you know, there are a lot of people who don't drink.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how can we get them involved in this sort of I think the idea behind like a Beer O'Clock Friday that we usually have internal ones from, you know, 4 o'clock or 3:30 or whatever. But the idea is to have people kind of put down their closed space for a moment and come and socialize with each other. So what would be a good alternative to Beer O'Clock Friday that would still allow for that sort of socialization?
Yeah, I think Invoke has something called First Fridays, mm-hmm. which on the first Friday of each month, they just sort of have a relaxing evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily tied to any particular type of booze or anything like that. It's just, yeah, it's Friday. Let's all shut our laptops,
mm-hmm.
you know, forget about work for a minute and relax. You know, Invoke's hired a couple of new people recently. So a lot of the team members are new and you want to chat with them, but you can't really do that during business hours about, hey, so why are you new here? Or what did you used to do before? I mean, I'm new and I haven't met everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that maybe pitching it or pivoting it towards a social versus a beer thing might mm-hmm. help reduce some of that things that people assume are going to happen there. Maybe that might be a better switch or a better way to pitch it to people.
Yeah, maybe. And I think other things, you know, maybe different sort of sports games or like foosball or but that also might not be for everyone.
You know what I never see? That's a good point. I never see like a video game like evening. Because mm-hmm. like everyone kind of likes to play games mostly. I mean, even board games or card games or whatever. But you don't mm-hmm. really see – you see a lot of Beer O'Clock this, social drink this. You don't really see a lot of like, oh, come to our office and play, you know, Xbox for a bit.
Yeah.
Or like come to our office and, you know, play an old Game Boy. Some places have arcades and stuff. I've seen them around. But
that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So also, though, that does kind of – I guess it depends on the game that you're playing.
Yeah.
So we used to – at Active State, we used to have a lot of games that we did, I guess, Fibbage sometimes, or we do Super Smash Brothers.
Oh yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Super Smash Bros. Is good.
But again, I think it still has some sort of an exclusivity to it, in that it's exclusive to people or people who don't like games.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I think there's always going to be someone that's either left out or sees it as a group, one group versus me, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could even say that about the time, like, oh, I want to go home to my family and this is Beer O'Clock is at 5:30 and like I have an hour commute, blah, blah, blah. I think that no matter what, someone's going to be,
have Beer O'Clock at 5:30? That seems really late.
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I mean, I can't really say. It's been a while since I've really been in a big company that had Beer O'Clock, but I think that, maybe just instead of maybe having the Beer O'Clock every Friday, maybe have a different one each Friday. So that would maybe cater to the different people that are in the company, especially if you have a bigger company. I mean, they're definitely going to leave a lot of people out if you're bigger.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. All right. So why don't we hop into the
meetups around town. All right. Cool. Anything this week for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I went to the Hacker Nest, of course.
Yeah, how was that?
That was awesome. It's at Skio Music again, which is always a good time.
Yeah, definitely a great venue there. We had some really good sponsors as well.
Yeah.
SAP and...
Branch Metrics.
Yeah, and there was a pretty cool raffle with like a hoodie.
Yeah,
and
that was cool. Yeah, that's cool. I wish that happened more often. Like,
well, I think it might going forward. As we've been growing as a community and we're getting, I think, better... Just better attendance, have some great venues, and excellent sponsors as well. So we'll probably see that more often.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I thought that was really cool seeing SAP there. And I talked to some of the people there just at the table, just chatting about the community and stuff like that. And they're just their whole thing was like, yeah, we want to be here. We want to talk to these people. Mm-hmm. They're hiring a lot of people in Vancouver. They have that huge office that takes up an entire block in Yale Town. So, I mean, they have openings there. So if you're interested in SAP and what they do, you should check that out, as well as Branch Metrics, because they're hiring as well. So just lots of stuff to do there. But yeah, Hacker Nest was awesome. Chat with everyone. That was really cool. I also went to Tech Vancouver on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Where was that?
That was at Rise.
At Rise.
So it's been at Rise a couple times now. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that was on purpose. I don't know if it's going to keep occurring at Rise.
Interesting.
But they have an awesome space. Mm-hmm. They have this huge one side is completely open. Uh-huh. And it just everyone fills it up. There's pizza and drinks and pop and water and all this type of stuff that you want.
We're actually having July Hacker Nest at Rise as well.
Sweet.
So if you haven't been, you'll have a chance to check it out.
Yeah, they have an awesome office. That's really cool. So that was there was a bunch of talks and stuff like that. Unfortunately, I had to leave a little bit early, but I did get to see Daniel from Coho talk about Coho and how they started and stuff like that. So that was cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that sounds really good. What was the attendance like?
It's awesome, man. There's like probably 50 people there or something like that. And they're all, this time they had a lot more chairs. Sometimes they don't have enough chairs, which is, you know, just shows how popular the meetup is.
Yeah.
They run out of chairs. And this time they had great chairs, like a great amount of chairs. It sounded like Donald Trump. They had great chairs, fabulous chairs. And they, but they actually had a ton of stuff and they reoriented the presentation. So it was more, you could easily see better with more people. So.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So both of those events are no laptop events, right?
You wouldn't do that. Yeah.
So I went on Wednesday. I went out to the, was it Vancouver Testers?
Oh, the YVR testing. Yeah.
Yeah, YVR testing.
Yeah.
And so there's a great talk there on pitfalls of agile development.
Right.
I thought it was really good. This was also, I mean, you don't need a laptop for this. It was a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that some of the points that were brought up were really good. There was some nice Q&A. Excellent. One of the things that I thought I was a little bit disappointed in, and it had nothing to do with the presenters or anything, was that there were most of the people there were QA, and I didn't see many developers there. So I was a little disappointed in the community of developers that we have not being interested in going to a testing meetup.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
I mean, like the problems start at development, I guess. Like the bugs start at development.
Absolutely.
So.
And I think that if anybody's responsible for putting up a wall between developers and test, I think it's developers. And or rather, not putting it up. If anyone should take responsibility for Champion breaking it down, it should be the developers.
Can you summarize the pitfalls in a small sentence or so?
Well, a lot of it was, you know, some of the things that came up were, you know, resistance to, you know, oh, we don't need manual testing.
Mm.
You know, oh, I write unit tests, so why do we need QA?
Yeah.
You know, and this is something I think if you've done any QA or if you've done any manual testing or if you've looked at things from a customer's point of view, you know, or you know, that age-old joke that's actually very serious. Oh, we test in production.
Yeah. I've actually been doing some UI tests lately, and it's super helpful. Because I'll notice a bug in my UI.
Right.
I'll write a test that fails purposely, knowing that the bug exists, and then I go ahead and fix it, run the test again, and it's done. And that was caught manually. Someone said, "Hey, when I change this drop down two or three times, something else breaks."
So I think that's really interesting. Like, you need those exploratory tests. You need the manual testing to come back and give you the feedback, and then if it's worth it, if it's something that's worth automating, then automate it, and then but still have that manual aspect to be able to catch those edge cases or to be able to see things like, oh, the color just doesn't quite look right.
Yeah,
you know, this looks a little
that can
blurry.
Be huge.
Like, how do you?
Especially when the designer looks at it, he's like, hey, all the fonts are wrong. You're like, oh, I didn't even know.
Right.
It's like, that's not really your area. You're there to implement a design. Maybe you're not there to make sure that the brand is on point. But that's a different kind of thing that happens.
So I thought the meetup was great. Would have liked to have seen more developers there.
Sure. Cool.
And that was my Wednesday.
Yeah, great. That was it for me that week. So.
Yeah, I think that was it for me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, well, Friday was Canada Day, so.
Right, so Thursday we had, instead of Beer Clock Friday, we had Beer Clock Thursday.
Oh, nice, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And that was that. And then, so we've got a pretty cool week coming up. Like you like to say, not a lot going on, but there is kind of a lot.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good week. So
Monday, I tend to say that, but I eat my words pretty quickly.
Monday the 4th, we have, from 4 p.m., we have the GitHelp and Zero Tech meetup.
Mm-hmm.
It's over at Decentral, 436 West Pender. Would you bring a laptop to this, James?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? So if you're interested in Git, if you work with Git, if you're a master of Git, or if you're a novice with Git, this would be great. Same thing with Zero Tech. What's Zero Tech?
Trying to implement something with the least amount of technology. Is that right?
I think it absolutely is. Starting with nothing, right? Mm-hmm. And then working up from there and being able to justify why you're adding these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
If you're adding jQuery just because you need to have a selector for an element selector, then maybe rethink
that. Yeah, you're doing it wrong. Yeah. Cool. All right.
And then we have from 7 p.m. to 9:15, the Generate Tech Group. So we've talked about this a couple of times. This is over at Edge, 412 289 Alexander Street. Neither of us have made it out to this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have gone out to this meetup group or if you're a member of it, let us know how it is. And we'd love to hear about it. It sounds pretty interesting. It's over at Gore and Alexander, and building and launching the world's first interactive interface.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now let's jump to Tuesday.
Sure. So Tuesday, again, we have Open Coffee at 8 a.m. And what's Open Coffee all about?
They sort of pitch it as startup drinks, but with coffee and in the morning. So if you haven't been to either of these, then you probably don't know what that means. And that means they're sort of a little social thing before work. You go to this great place, Nelson the Seagull on Corral Street, and have a nice bit of coffee, chat with some people. Corin, one of the guys who organizes this, he actually told me that it was packed last time.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, I guess, are getting out early in the summertime, so that's cool.
Sounds really good, and it sounds like it's more of just a social event for people in tech to have some coffee in the morning and chat.
Yeah, is absolutely. Right? Yeah. Definitely.
Cool. So maybe I'll try and make it out. That's this Tuesday at 8 a.m., and it goes till 9:30 a.m. We got the, in the evening, we've got Polyglot Vancouver.
Yeah, Polyglot Vancouver at St. Regis. That's 608 Dunsmuir Street. That starts at 6 p.m.
So this is their social. Would you bring a laptop to that?
I probably wouldn't. Yeah, if it's a social, you're going to look like the guy carrying the laptop. But,
well, it does. I guess if you have something to show on it,
or that's
if you,
true.
You know, you want to drink some beer in a pub and pound out some code with some people.
Yeah,
that might be something. But yeah, it does look like it's more of a social. So I probably would leave the laptop at home.
Yeah, true. Cool.
And this one is all 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Public Cloud User Group. And it looks like something awesome is happening here.
Yeah, the Cloud Technology Cooking Show.
Nice.
So it seems like Matt Corlin, one of the organizers of this, as well as a past guest on the show, he always tries to make these really, really fun and exciting. One of the great things that he does is he actually breaks down all the things that happened in the cloud in the last month or since the last meetup, which is always really awesome because he has 5 or 6 slides and just lays out every single thing that he could think of that was really important that you should know. Mm-hmm. That's really cool as well. But yeah, this one's definitely pretty cool. I don't know what the cooking side is.
Well, it says here, so I think it's just there's a bunch of different things happening.
Yeah.
So the theme is cloud visibility and management, and there are 2 energizing speakers for this event, which will focus on visibility and management for the cloud. Sounds really cool. Definitely, if you do any work in development that has anything to do with the cloud, which you probably do, then this would be a meetup that I would say is definitely worth attending.
Yeah, look, they're talking about Chef. That's why the cooking is there.
Yeah, but now also the closure meetup is happening at 6 p.m. at the same place at the same time. So
yeah.
If you're interested in either of those and not sure which one to go to, bring a laptop, go check out Closure.
Yeah.
And you get to see what that group is like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's definitely cool.
Yeah. And that's our Tuesday. And Wednesday, we start out with the Linux desktop. And that's over at Decentral from 4:30 to 6:30. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been out to this one, James?
No, I haven't. But I was trying to run Linux on my Mac, and I couldn't get it to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I might need to go here. I have a little USB with a distro on it, and I just can't get it to go. This would probably be a good place to go, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. There should be some people there that could help you out with that. On the other hand, if you're an experienced Linux desktop user and you just want to talk about kind of the latest and greatest stuff in userland, then that would be a great place to go. Or if you're, you know, maybe you just got a Chromebook and you're like, you know what, I don't really find this as useful as I thought it would be. I really wish it had a full-featured operating system on it.
Yeah.
And you want to do the, maybe you want to run Ubuntu concurrently with it. You want to do the
you can dual boot.
CH root thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Good. Yeah, then we'll jump to the Vancouver Pluralsight Study Group.
Mm-hmm. So as you know, this is the a study group that goes through Pluralsight courses.
Yeah.
Right now, are they still on the open?
Yeah, the WebGL and 3JS Fundamentals.
3JS Fundamentals. So if you're interested in going to that, it looks like they've been on this for about 2 or 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
I would definitely reach out to them, see how far they've gotten and where you should be or where you'd want to be. But it looks like it should be a good group. I haven't been to it yet. Definitely bring a laptop and probably, preferably, with a Pluralsight
membership. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, then we have Learn Data Science.
And it's at 555 West Hastings over at SFU Venture Labs, Harbor Center. So the data science reading group, there's always a paper. This paper is Deep Patient, an Unsupervised Representation to Predict the Future of Patients from the Electronic Health Records.
Wow.
It sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
And yeah, so there's definitely that the paper to read. Please read it before the meetup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And there's also the from 6 to 8 at BrainStation. There is a
Intro to Web Development workshop.
Nice.
So that's $15. It is a workshop, so you're there to learn. You're there for 2 hours. It's a hands-on lesson, and then at the end, there's a 30-minute Q&A, as well as networking. And, of course, always bring your laptop.
Mm-hmm. All right. And also Vancouver Haskell. So we haven't seen Haskell meet up for a while, and this should be pretty awesome. This is over at Unbounce. World headquarters.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Nice. Yeah. So this is 401 West Georgia, up on the fourth floor there. There'll probably be somebody there to let you in because I think if you're late, you might have a hard time getting out.
Yeah, they have special elevators there.
Yeah. Right, so that should be a lot of fun. And it looks like Tavis Red from Unbounce is going to be introducing GHCJS, a complete Haskell to JavaScript compiler.
Wow.
And it looks like Roman Gonzalez is going to be introducing Elm. So this is really interesting, an opinionated language that is inspired on simplified Haskell syntax.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. If you haven't checked out Elm, make sure to do so. This looks like it should be a really fun and I'm sure going to be a well-attended meetups. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it looks like there's already 36 signed up, and there'll be a lot more probably on the day.
Okay, and then we're going to Thursday.
So Thursday we have from 4:30 to 7 over at Decentral, 436 West Pender, the DDD CQRS ES Practitioners Meetup. If you haven't been to that, this is something you probably want to check out. It covers a lot of areas of everything from sort of planning out what a feature might look like, doing the event storming session, writing it out, mm-hmm. and even actually writing out some code and implementing it. There's a great mix of people, a lot of senior developers, there's even product or project managers.
Yeah.
The whole idea of DDD is that this ranges across the board. So if you're in QA, if you're in development, if you're in IT department or
sure.
anywhere,
yeah.
Even if you're in business of some sort, this might be a good meetup to go to if it's related to tech.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've talked about applying DDD to my own sort of projects, mm-hmm. but I actually did some sort of not necessarily event storming, and I know that ES in this case is event sourcing, but we did event storming at one point at one of the meetups that I went to a couple of months ago, and I was even trying to think about my applications in an evented way,
mm-hmm.
and so I ended up making some decisions based on events that I knew were going to occur, mm-hmm. and it made my app way more flexible. So this has already helped me just in the few times that it went.
Absolutely. Same with me. And it is something that we are implementing at work. But this is like, it's kind of like if you have a weekly karate class.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
and you go and you study karate on a weekly basis, but you still need to practice it every day as well.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of that, it's that study, that mentorship for
sure.
it, where there are some really great coaches, and then you can go and practice it and put it into practice. So mm-hmm. I definitely recommend it to anybody who's interested in doing development the right way.
Absolutely.
And that's it for our meetups around town. And we're here with our special guest, Jesse Cauldron of Tableau. Thank you for joining us, Jesse.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about Tableau. This is something I've been hearing a lot about lately and seeing a much bigger presence lately. But how long has Tableau had offices or an office in Vancouver?
Yeah, so Tableau has had Canadian employees for 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nigel Studley, who is fairly senior in the sales organization, has been based in Vancouver for about 6 years. He runs global pre-sales, global support. But we opened a development office here last August.
Oh, okay, so that makes sense why yeah. from then I'd start to hear a lot more in the development community.
Exactly, yeah. Uh-huh. So we're fairly recent, just close to a year now.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit more about what Tableau actually is and what your role is there.
So Tableau is, you can kind of think of us as a data visualization company. Mm-hmm. The company's mission is to help people see and understand data. So the company was founded in 2003 by folks from Stanford University. So Chris Stolte was doing his PhD at Stanford. He's actually a Vancouver native, grew up here, went to Simon Fraser for undergrad, and then did his PhD at Stanford. And so he had developed VisQL, which is kind of the core technology for Tableau, working under Pat Hanrahan, who runs the Viz Lab at Stanford and has a history of working in technology. He was actually one of the first employees of Pixar. Oh, wow. And invented the RenderMan technology there. Nice. And then the third person from Stanford is Christian Chabot, who is our CEO. He was a business grad from Stanford.
A lot of really interesting things seem to come out of Stanford and the whole Palo Alto area. Exactly. Tableau, how long have you been with Tableau?
So I started in August when I opened the development center here. I've been in Vancouver now for 7 years.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. And what's your role?
So my role, I have two roles. So I run the development team here in Vancouver, responsible for building that out and getting the company started here. And then I also am responsible for a piece of the product strategy within Tableau. So I'm responsible for self-service collaboration.
That sounds pretty awesome. So what sort of challenges and things like that would you face as, I guess, being in charge of building out the development team?
Multiple challenges. I think one is getting the word out, mm-hmm. right? Getting people aware of Tableau in Vancouver. We're an enterprise company rather than a consumer company. So making people aware that we're in town. So we've started to hold events, making people aware of what we're doing, spending a lot of time at UBC and SFU, meeting with students and hosting things there. So I think that's kind of the biggest challenge initially is just awareness and getting people to
The first
to
time I met a Tableau person was at the Open Data meetup a couple of months ago. And that was Jared. So I see him all the time out at the different meetups talking about Tableau and talking to people about the office that just opened.
Exactly. Yeah. Jared's a great ambassador for the team. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. He's quite out there in the community, which is great. So what about challenges finding the right people, I guess? How are you addressing that? So I guess going to some of the universities and things like that would mm-hmm. definitely help with as hiring fairs and getting people out of college. It seems like, anyway, a lot of the jobs being advertised for Tableau are more of a senior level position.
Yeah, we have a mix. We have 25 people in development now. Mm-hmm. And we have a mix of senior and junior folks. And I think right now, if we look at the, dozen positions, they do tend a little bit towards senior, but we're doing a mix of fresh grads, early talent and senior folks.
So what's a good sort of balance of that? What's a good ratio of senior to junior to intermediate?
I don't have a set number. I think it really depends on the topic. Some of the things that we're doing are kind of incubation, brand new ideas. So, for example, we're working on a recommendations engine to build recommendations in. And so for that, we're looking for probably some more experienced people that have backgrounds with machine learning. Whereas some of the other topics are, maybe kind of, dashboarding or storytelling or some of these more established topics where we can bring junior people in and work with senior people that are established on the topic. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's kind of a mix. I mean, in general, you want a healthy balance of diverse backgrounds, early talent, people that are have been in their career for a while.
So you said you have about 25 mm-hmm. Developers and you're looking to expand that to up to, about 40, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, based on the open positions that we have today, that number is about 40. Mm-hmm. We haven't really set a target. We'll kind of grow as fast as organically possible in the community.
What do the team sizes look like?
So we organize internally by feature teams. Mm-hmm. So focusing on maybe dashboarding or storytelling or recommendations. And then that can be broken up into multiple Scrum teams that are working on that feature. The Scrum teams are anywhere from, 6 to 10. Try to keep them fairly small so that they can have a nice tight-knit group. And the feature teams can be anywhere from, 1 to 3 Scrum teams.
Interesting. So this is all within the Vancouver office?
So what we do, so one of the reasons that I joined Tableau was the team had a well-established tradition of working cross-location. So before we opened the Vancouver office, we have offices in Palo Alto, Austin, Fremont, and Kirkland. And within those teams, they're very distributed. So for example, we have a mobile team where there's a product manager in Austin and developers in Palo Alto, Fremont, and Kirkland. And so we have the technology and the infrastructure in place to support people working cross location, great video conferencing. People can whiteboard during standups and you just zoom the HD in and take a look at it. So we try to keep things distributed because we want to identify talent in whichever location we can, identify people that are really passionate about topics and have them join Tableau and not feel like they're restricted geographically, right? So that we can really build a balanced team, a global team. So, there are teams that have, all in Fremont or all in Palo Alto, but a lot of our teams are distributed across multiple places.
What sort of tools do you use for enabling, distributed workflow and cross collaboration?
So we use, chat and communication tools. So we use HipChat and Jabber. Teams are going rogue and using Slack because it's a great product. Mm-hmm. We use video conferencing. So we use Cisco for our video conferencing. And it's very interesting. You'll see teams. So for example, the recommendations team in Vancouver, we have people here, people in Fremont. People will be sitting right next to each other and they'll hip chat each other so that everybody on the team can see what's going on. So communication technologies. And then we use Word for our kind of specification documents. Mm-hmm. And we use that because it has commenting, right? So you can enter the specs and people can have comments. So you can see, it invites that collaborative culture where people make comments and note notes for each other so that in multiple occasions you can share the information. And then, of course, you have a history of that.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah. So, you've mentioned that the Vancouver office is relatively new. Mm-hmm. What made Tableau pick Vancouver? I'm guessing there's a closeness to Washington, which is nice, or mm-hmm. Seattle and these other areas, but maybe you can talk a little bit about why Vancouver.
Yeah, so part of it is Stolte grew up here and has always had an affinity and kind of local boy makes good. He has an affinity for Vancouver and wanted to have a presence here. But part of it is diversity, right? We have a presence in Palo Alto. We have a presence in Seattle. And as we look to grow the next decade of the company, the leadership team believes very strongly in having different ideas, different backgrounds. And so Vancouver gives us that ability to tap into Canada, the Canadian market, which is fantastic. We have UBC, SFU, Waterloo, great universities, and then also potentially to go international as well. So that's kind of one of the main driving factors is really diversity. We do like to keep development on the West Coast, right? Mm-hmm. Keep the same time zone, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So rather than going East Coast or Europe or Asia, keeping something that makes communication and collaboration possible.
So you mentioned some of these cool jobs and all the hiring that you're doing. So what type of projects or products are they working on and who's the customer of Tableau?
Yeah. So the customer of Tableau is really anybody. The company was founded with the idea of bringing the ability to ask questions of your data to somebody working in the business, right? Historically, you had kind of a centralized IT model where a report factory, right? Somebody would build content for somebody else and they would consume it. And we believe that we want to put technology in the hands of people that understand the data and enable them to ask questions of it. So most of our customers start out with an individual that sees Tableau, downloads it, does a trial, buys it, and kind of expands from there. As far as what do we work on, in Vancouver, we don't really focus on a particular area. We have people working on data. We have people working on the kind of presentations and dashboards and storytelling. We have people working on recommendations. We have people working on kind of online infrastructure. So a mix of topics and technologies, which I think is interesting for people.
Nice. So what are there any prominent Canadian companies that are using Tableau?
So we have Canadian Yellow Pages, which is using us. And then there's more listed on the Tableau website where mm-hmm. people can go and take a look, customers.tableau.com.
Yellow Pages, that's pretty cool. What about plans for opening more offices in Canada?
So globally, we have 14 offices now. So we are an international company. Mm-hmm. We have sales offices on the East Coast in Toronto, and sales folks kind of spread throughout the country.
I guess for development, like you were saying before, keep it on the same
Now, I mean, I think the goal is to keep it on the West Coast. We did recently open an office in Munich, Germany. Mm-hmm. We bought a database technology company there.
Oh, that's cool.
So, as we continue to grow, we always look at interesting technologies and places, but I think at least in the short
term, build out another time zone based on Munich.
That one will be, that'll be interesting. I think the company takes a very thoughtful approach to expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's the sort of, what sort of stack are you working on? I guess there are probably depends a lot on the different products, but...
Exactly, yeah. So we have, within the Tableau product portfolio, we have desktop, we have server, we have two online products in Tableau Online and Tableau Public, and we have mobile offerings on iOS and Android. Mm-hmm. So the full spectrum of technologies. We have C++, we have Java, we have HTML and JavaScript, we of course have native iOS and Android work as well. So on the JavaScript side, we're using Angular and React and those frameworks. It's an interesting opportunity because we're doing kind of traditional on-premise development and cloud development in mobile. Mm-hmm. So a full range of technologies for people if they're interested in.
And would people typically be cross-team? Would somebody jump from, say, working on a cloud platform thing to maybe working on an Angular app?
Yeah, so we have a mix. Some features will be cross-cutting across platforms. Mm-hmm. Example, we have our visualization stack runs on desktop, runs on server, runs on mobile. Mm-hmm. Think about dashboarding, right, where you're doing layout, that's on desktop, that's on web, don't yet have it on mobile. So it really depends on the feature. Mm-hmm. Some of the mobile developers are really focused on that and wouldn't work necessarily on web and server. Mm-hmm. It's really just a lot of Tableau comes down to what are you interested in? As a developer, if you want to go deep on a technology, we have a place for that. If you really want to be a full stack developer and be broad, then we have places for that as well. And so when we interview for a specific feature team with a specific topic. And at any given time, I think right now we have 55 feature teams. So we have a broad array of topics. And so mm-hmm. when you interview, we will ask you kind of what are you passionate about? What technologies you're interested in? And then we'll kind of funnel you to some teams that are working on either that technology or that area.
And so it sounds to me, I guess, based on that answer, like there'd be a lot of chance, a lot of room to grow. Like let's Absolutely. Say, for example, I'm working on some sort of maybe platform team, maybe using Java, but I'm really interested in checking out some mobile stuff and maybe want to hop over to Android development. There might be a chance for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a strong bias towards individual preference, mm-hmm. which is, as in my experience, I've been doing this for 20 years now, a bit unique in the industry. Mm-hmm. As we work on projects and things wind down, we're very transparent within the company to say, look, here's new things spinning up. If you're interested, let the person that's running that project know. And we expect an orderly retreat from whatever it is that you're currently working on, of course. But it's very open. And as I said, we bias. Some companies will say, okay, we're going to start, new mobile development. Let's go handpick these 8 people and put them on that project. We don't do that. Mm-hmm. We say, hey, we have a new project. It's open to everybody mm-hmm. who's interested.
So it sounds like Tableau is really interested in sort of employee happiness in that case, is not just getting assigned into a project, but being able to pick what you're working on. Do you find that that actually does affect their happiness, or can you find that the right people are stepping up for those positions that you're hiring or moving internally?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm in the 8.5-9 months that I've been here now. There's been a couple of kind of project milestones where this has happened, and I've seen it work very well. People seem to be very happy, and I think when I talk to people and I'm out meeting people in recruiting, this resonates with people. They like the idea that they can come to a company where the first question is, what are you passionate about? What mm-hmm. are you interested in? And then seeing how we in practice do this and operate. So far it's been very, very positive.
That sounds pretty interesting. So how big are the offices, or is the office space in Vancouver?
So right now we are in the HSBC building, mm-hmm. just over here on Georgia and Hornby. And we have half of the 14th floor in there. Mm-hmm. We've got space for, 100 people. So at least for the foreseeable future, yeah. we've got plenty of room. So
yeah. That's pretty cool. I was thinking, a lot of people might be out there saying, well, I've got a CSV with all my data in and I can just chuck a chart at it and look at it. So, but that's probably not what, would be useful for most people. They need to understand their data in a more dynamic way. What does Tableau do to actually promote that sort of interaction with data that you already have?
It starts with the technology that Stolte invented at Stanford, which is fundamentally different. So in most technologies, whether, pick any of your data visualization products out there, they separate the visualization from the query. So you'll execute a query, you get a result set back, and then you'll match a visualization to that. With VizQL, which is the foundational technology for Tableau, it's grammar-based and it combines the visualization and the query together. So what that means is as you're in the product, you're interacting with your data, as you're dragging and dropping, you always have a visual state that's accurate. Because it's grammar-based, we can check the grammar. It can be verified. Mm. And so it because the visualization is always valid, it invites you to drag and drop, and you really can't get into a state that doesn't make sense.
Can you maybe describe an example or something that you see all the time of how people maybe use this with real use cases?
Yeah. So let's take a sales example, right? Mm-hmm. So sales territories. And a common example would be somebody wants to do forecasting and break up their sales territories for the year. And so you can connect to your, you know, sales forecasts. And typical scenario would be I'm, say, North America, and I want to break it up into East, West, and Central. And so you can drag and drop to create your territories on the map. So we have mapping, very cool. Visual. And then we have binning capabilities built into the product. So as you group West Coast, it'll automatically sum up your sales targets for the West. Same thing for Central, same thing for East. And then you can just interactively change those, you know, change the grouping, change the binning. And so it invites that exploration and that, you know, adjusting of the data until you get it exactly right.
So that's pretty sweet. A common scenario. So it sounds like it's maybe... there is that sort of drag and drop GUI interface, but then it sounds like there's also the opportunity to write maybe more advanced queries on collecting that information.
Yeah, so you can do freehand SQL. We also have a custom calculation language, which is, you know, for Excel users, it's very familiar, very similar. So if you want to, you can get behind the scenes of anything and see the SQL, see the calculations that are there, but you don't have to write anything. You can just do it all interactively if you want to.
That's awesome.
I actually saw, I think, at the Open Data Day hackathon, some pretty cool implementations of Tableau over some open data. But I wasn't that familiar with it. So if I wanted to play around with Tableau, or what are some good learning resources?
Yeah, so there's a couple. Mm-hmm. So we have the desktop version, which has a free trial, which you can just go download in 30-day trial. Open Data in particular is interesting. We have Tableau Public. So Tableau Public is our free offering. Anybody can go to Tableau Public. You'll create an account. You download a free version of the desktop. And the limitation is that you can only publish your content to Tableau Public. But this is very interesting for government agencies that are doing open data initiatives. Mm-hmm. Tableau Public is very popular with them because it's free.
Right.
And then when they publish to Tableau Public, we have a built-in community of people that are going there and looking at visualizations and looking at data. So on the website, there's lots of resources to help you sample data sets, sample visualizations. We have over 35,000 customers globally. There's customer stories there. Wow. So that's if you want to kind of, you know, more of a, say, a kind of a library-based approach where you're looking at information. Mm-hmm. And then Tableau Public is great because on Tableau Public, you can download the workbooks that people have published there and just open them up and start looking at them. Mm-hmm. So kind of if you're more hands-on and want to see, okay, I see the visualization, but how did somebody build this? We can just actually download it, open it up in your desktop, and see the data set and all the things that they use to build that.
Nice. Yeah, that makes it a lot easier to just kind of jump in and get your hands dirty.
Yeah, some people learn by reading, some people learn by doing, and we have options for both.
Awesome. All right, let's jump back a little bit to company culture and what that's like. I guess we talked a little bit about, you know, how teams form, and that sounded pretty cool. What about daily stand-ups? Is that at a set time or hours set?
Yeah, it's really up to the teams. Mm-hmm. So we do follow agile methodology. We have 2-week sprints. Mm-hmm. But it's really up to the teams on how they want to do that. Mm-hmm. Kind of the only requirement we have as a company is that we use Agile, you use Scrum. We have Agile coaches that are internally on staff to help people. And it's really kind of flexible to the teams on whether they want to do it. Most teams have continuous planning model. They're doing backlog grooming. They do sprint planning. They do their sprint reviews and their daily stand-ups. But the flavors vary depending on teams.
So I remember actually, I think Jared came out to one of the Git Help and Zero Tech meetups, and we're talking about Git. And for him, he has a lot more experience with Perforce, I think. But he had mentioned that, you know, one of the things he wanted to look into Git because he hadn't explored it much, and he needed to be able to like map what he knew from Perforce to Git so he could talk to other people. So it sounds like there's different even revisioning tools being used on different teams, maybe?
Well, we have, you know, we have the standard, which mm-hmm. everybody uses. So for our building and branching and building the production software, we do use Perforce.
Okay.
But we have a very open culture. Mm-hmm. And what we like to do is to have people experiment, learn things, and then present that to the rest of the group as this is a technology we should adopt, and here's why. Here's a process we should adopt, and here's why. Mm-hmm. And so, as I mentioned earlier, Slack's going rogue. That's an example of we want the teams to work in the way that's most natural and most effective, while also keeping in mind that we're not a small company anymore, and we need people to be able to work effectively as a big group.
Right.
And so it's that tension between, you know, working at scale and allowing individuals to have the freedom and flexibility to work the way they want.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the common thread at Tableau is that there's an independence or a understanding that people can be responsible for the tools that they choose. I think a lot of the times companies are maybe damping down on top of everyone the tools and things that they use versus saying, like, what is going to work best for us as different people and at a different place and different experience and all that stuff. It sounds like that's really what Tableau is all about.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as we adopt tools and technologies, there is a strong bias towards crowdsourcing and having conversations with the entire development team. What are people interested in doing? Why are they interested in doing it? How is it going to help us? So it's a very thoughtful, collaborative approach to things, which, you know, when we interview and when we talk about it, the company, we try to be as open and transparent as we can, because for somebody who's looking for a different environment where they're looking for something highly structured and highly regimented, and some people do, nothing wrong with that, this will not be a good place for them.
Right.
Right. And so we try to be really open and visible about the way that we work so that people can self-select.
Cool. Oh, that does sound pretty awesome. So what about in your case, Jesse? Are you out there in the community? Do you attend any of the meetups, or where can we find you if we wanted to reach out to you?
Yeah. So I'm not as active as I would like to be. You know, life intervenes. I have young children. But I am, you know, doing things like this and spending time meeting. I spend most of my time going out to lunches and meeting with other leaders and folks in the community, just getting to know people.
This is actually an interesting thing, because I hear this a lot, is that a lot of people are, you know, especially when they have young families, really busy, and it makes a lot of sense. Do you think there's, would there be a need or a benefit to having, meetup groups for parents with young children in tech?
Well, that's a good question. I hadn't thought about that.
Have a daycare going on.
Well, or have some sort of, you know, maybe activity day on a weekend that bring those, you know, technology parents and their children together.
I would definitely be interested. I think it's worth exploring. The challenge with the meetups is that they're often in the evening, and you have, you know, family activities. My kids are very active in sports and various activities, so it's challenging. Well,
3 to 4 hours to get them to bed, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, yeah, looking at creative ways to bring families in, looking at ways to do them lunchtime meetups or, you know, daytime sessions instead of the kind of after work, evening hours. Having said that, it is something that, you know, me and my team are looking at, and we have to get more involved. Back to your initial question of what are we doing and how what's the biggest challenge? Well, we need to be known, right? And I find meetups are a great, just very authentic, organic way to do that, right? You're there, having conversations, and it's not about some Tableau-based event where we're marketing to you. It's more just, hey, we're here. This is who we are. And people like Jared, again, are a great ambassador because he loves Tableau, and he's a creative guy. And so,
yeah. It's definitely good to have, I guess, advocates in the community. It seems a lot of companies have some pretty good success with open houses and things like that as well. Do you have... And what do you think of Beer O'Clock Fridays?
So two things. So on the open house front, we had an open house in November, which was a great event. We didn't have it internally in our space because we weren't set up yet.
Right.
We're progressing. We're getting the space kind of close to where I want it. And once we do that, then we'll have an open house just so people can come in.
Cool.
And then I do want us to host meetups. So the Tableau user group and other things, we will put our space forward as a place to...
Maybe the PHP meetup?
Yeah, maybe.
Sure. We're open, you know, once we get the space done, which I expect to be done this summer, then yeah, we're open to anybody that wants to, you know, to looking for a space to host.
Right.
We'd be happy to do it.
How many people would that be capped at, do you think?
That's a good question. Based on the space, probably in the kind of 50, certainly not more than 75. It would just be too much. And then on the Beer O'Clock thing, yeah, I mean, I think it's again, a very kind of organic, natural part of the community.
Right.
So I'm definitely supportive of that.
Something that I'm thinking with the company that I work with, we're a small startup. I guess we're about 15 people altogether, about 10 developers and about 5 business and salespeople. And we're kind of looking at, you know, just opening up for Beer O'Clock Fridays. Come on by, check us out. But one of the problems that I find with that is maybe that's an exclusive beer drinkers club now.
Yeah.
And how do we avoid that? How do we say, you know, can we have some sort of open, fun activity that's not just everybody drinking beer?
Exactly. And I think that to me is really the, you know, having, opening it up so that people feel welcome and, mm-hmm. and part of it. And there's nothing wrong with beer or wine or something as part of that event. But I think focusing on, you know, the people, the culture, the learning, the things that you can do. And of course, we support that with food and drinks and things.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm really looking forward to making it out to the next Tableau open house. If somebody wants to reach out to you, Jesse, or to somebody regarding Tableau, maybe they're interested in the company or culture, would like to work there, what's the best way to do that?
So careers.tableau.com. Mm-hmm. We have all of our positions posted there. Find me personally. I'm on LinkedIn. There's only one Jesse Calderon at Tableau. Mm-hmm. I love to connect to people, chat, and discuss just tech in Vancouver and of course, Tableau. So.
Yeah, I guess people can keep an eye out for Jared too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's, yeah, Jared, John, others.
Yeah. Swine shirts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, we want to mention Lean Coffee, I think. Jared's meetup that he hosts.
Oh, yeah.
We should definitely go out to that because it must be awesome if Jared's running it. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, Jesse, thank you very much for being on this episode of the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Thanks, Drew. Thanks, James. Very fun.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Check out our website, vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Rate and subscribe on iTunes. Much appreciated.
You can follow us on Twitter, VanTechPodcast.
Feel free to leave some comments below.
You can also hit us up on the YVR Dev, the Vancouver Tech, the VanTech Slacks. I'm at James.
And I'm at Drew. Special thanks to Same Room for hooking us up with an integration that allows us to have a cross-team Slack channel, VanDevs.
Do you have a meetup that you want us to plug? Email us, show@vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Music by A Shell in the Pit from the game Parkitect. See you at one of the meetups
around town.